Okay, we're picking up eight lines from the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored by the Nishma Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. I hope everyone had a beautiful Shavua as a Matan Torah Sinu. The best way to Bekabel the Torah is continue learning and showing that we, every single day, are interested in continuing the growth in our Limud Torah, connecting to Hashem through Limud Torah Bez Hashem. So let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, She'im lo yotel azun. So this was explanation of the Mishnah, which if a person chooses not, this is explanation of whether or not it's a zechus for the Eved to go free. So we explain that if the Adon chooses not to support, he has the right to, and that's why it was a zechus. So now we're just going to focus on the fact that the Adon has the right to seemingly not support his Eved at all, to which the Gemara points out, Shmat Mina, Yachal Rav Lomar La'Eved, Ase Imi Ve'eni Zancha, Lachor, we can learn from over here, that a master is allowed to tell his slave that you could work for me all the time. And Eved is always referring to an Eved Kanani, not to be confused with the Eved Ivri. Eved Kanani is basically, we pointed out, he's not a Yid yet. He's definitely not a full Jew. He's probably closer to a Goy. And that's why there's even a Shaila about this question. When it comes to an Eved Ivri, the Gemara Kedushin famously has the halacha that that even if you have only one pillow, and you have one pillow available, you have to give it to your Eved Ivri first. You have to treat him better than you have. After Echa Kamocha applies, obviously there's different halachas, a whole different set of standards that a person has for an Eved Ivri. Here we're talking, he's just really just a hired worker. An Eved Ivri is a hired worker for 6 years, and that's how long he works for you, that's over. And then he wants to continue to go to Yovel, but Be'etzem, he's just a hired worker. That's the halacha of an Eved Ivri. When it comes to an Eved Knaini is really your property. He's really a property. See, the nafkamin is in today's daf, but that's the shaila over here. So maybe you can even tell your slave that he has to work for you. He's not going to even feed him. That he's not required to feed him. So what is he going to do? Lechor, you have to give him enough time to, you're not going to let him starve. Rather, that he has to go to, he goes knocking door to door, snoring, and trying to get money from other people to support him. The other is not chayat mechuyev to support him. That's what the Gemara's suggestion is right now. So Gemara says, Halcha Ma'askina, no. So that's not necessarily a proof from our Mishnah. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a case where he says, "De Amar Le, Tse Ma'ase Yadecha Limnozosecha." That he says to him, the master says to the slave, that he tells the slave, take your earnings for your food. So if, and therefore, that's why he's allowed to not support him. If he says, take your earnings for your food, that's a halacha, that he's allowed to say that. And therefore, he's enabling himself to have his way of having earning, his way of having eating, and that then the halacha of Asim Ivan Zancha does not apply. It's because there he's allowing him to eat. So the Gemara says, the Kavasa, Gaba Isha, but then, what would be the parallel case? The parallel case would be by a wife. Where in our Mishnah, where it talks about the Amar Latzi Maisei Yadayach Ben Zosach, where we know that the husband is allowed to, right, the Mishnah Ksubas lists off different things that are Mesakin Zeh Keneged Zeh. One of the things the Mishnah tells us is that there were Mesakin Mizonos Keneged, the fact that he supports her. So the husband is allowed to tell his wife, take your, I don't need your earnings, you take your own work and you buy your own food. I don't want to deal with buying you food. So that should be okay. Yishamai Lo. So why can a husband not make this declaration? That's totally fine because it was the takana, it was for him. And for sure, if she's able to support herself, then the Chora, that would be fine. So the Chora, this point doesn't line up with the Mishnah because that the parallel case should be in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, maybe we're talking about a case of Isha B'dela Safka where we must be referring to the fact that the wife is the one who does, she doesn't make enough money. And since she's not making enough money, she's struggling to pay for her food. And the husband, therefore, has to provide the difference. So the Gemara says that Evan Nami Lo B'dela Safik, that if that's the case, a slave must also similarly be where he does not earn enough money to pay for his food. And the master in that circumstance is Lechora explaining that, we don't need to pay for his food either. So Lechora, it should be a chiyuv on the master. That would be similar to Asa Imi Ve'in Izancha because he doesn't have enough, in the Havmin right now. If he doesn't have enough money to make his own wages, the Adon should be mechuyuv to at least support him the basic needs to continue to eat. He's gonna starve. So the Gemara says, Avde Dinahum Kresid Loshavya Lamar Lamar Zayin Lamami Boy, that a slave, he can't even earn enough money to fill his stomach, meaning to literally make enough money to make his bare means to be able to eat and not starve. What use is he to his master, to his either female master or male master? Meaning, what use is he to the Adon? So therefore, you do not need to make up the difference, and he would have to go begging on the doors. We're not going to mechayev the Adon to support him more than he can support himself. When it comes to his wife, however, that's much different. There's a chiyav, ashtas medaraisa, definitely through the ksuba, for a man to provide mizonos for his wife, right? That's share ksus va'ona. Share. according to many of the Tanaim over there in the seventh parak of Ksubas, she'er is the din of supporting one's wife, which is a din de'oraisa, So the Gemara says that really, essentially, the man is mechuyev to support his wife. If she's able to earn enough money where she can provide more than enough means for herself to live and be able to eat, so then he doesn't have a chiyuv. He could just say, I'm not supporting you, I'm not taking your earnings, you use them towards your food. However, if she does not have enough to make up that difference, she works very minimal job and minimal hours, and that's what she's used to, so then the husband would in fact have a chiyuv to make up the difference and pay for the food expenses. But when it comes to an adon, here the master would not be chayev on the same level as a man to his wife. So says the Gemara Vayter. Now the Gemara says, Tashma, so we can bring a proof that an adon can force a slave to work with him without having to feed him. From the following Braisa. The Braisa tells us that Eved Shegala La'ari Miklat Ein Rabo Chayev Lazuno, that if a slave accidentally killed, so we know the Torah tells that there's a punishment for galus, for somebody who kills by accident, if you're honest, gamar, you're not chayav, but if you do it by accident, where there is, you could have been a little bit more careful, then you have the shesh ari miklat, which a person has to run to, and the 40 other two small ones, okay, also have different, have the capacity to be able to save the person who is the goel, the person who had killed by accident, the person who killed b'shogig, and he runs to the ari miklat. So now, the halacha is that the adon, the master, is not obligated to feed him over there. Velo od, says the Braisa further, Ela shemaisa yadav l'rabo, that not only that, but while he's there, all of his earnings go to his master. However, he doesn't have to support him, so we see beferish that in that case, that's a good proof from this Braisa, that a master can tell a slave, you're going to work, and I'm not providing for anything, you're going to figure out, go knocking on the doors, to be able to eat your food. Al pi halacha, that would be the ikra din. So the Gemara rejects this as well. What are we dealing with over here? That here also we're talking about a case where the master tells the slave, take your earnings for your food and I'm not providing for you anything. So the Gemara says, so then, so why does the Braisa say that his earnings go to his master? That was the lashon of the Braisa. The Braisa says, so, ein rabba chayev lazuno, and then we said that, that ein rabba chayev lazuno, velo odel shemaisi adav l'rabo, that his earnings go to his master. So over here, we're not saying that they go to the master, they're rather being covered to cover his food, his basic food expenses to live. So the Gemara answers, no, must be talking about when the Braisa says that the Chiddush is that they go to the Adon, that's referring to La'dafa. That's referring to anything that is in excess of what he basically needs, anything that's surplus, that's extra. Those things are able to go to the Adon, and they're not, if they're not eaten, they're basically right, the slave requires 2,000 calorie diet. You know, that's what he requires to live per day, so he's not starving and he's okay to live. So if he's able to earn enough to provide an extra 1,000 calories, that amount, that extra $10 worth, goes to the Adon every single day. So the Gemara says, what was the Havamina? Hadaf Apshita, that if it's something that's extra, that's not needed towards basis necessity of living, towards the cost of food, then obviously that amount should go to the Adon. So the Gemara says, Ma'od the same, what would I have thought? Keva, Dechi, Le, Slay, Lo Yahavi Le, that since the slave does not have enough income to pay for his food, the Adon doesn't give him any help. Ki Islay, Nami, Lolish, Gomine. So I would have thought maybe that the slave does have extra income. His master should not take it from him, but allow the slave to hold it in reserve, because there might be some days, Rashi points out, which he'll be unable to find a work, and therefore he's not going to go hungry. That one day, that he made an extra $10, he should be able to save it for the next day. So the Braisa is Mechadish, Kamashmanda, that's in fact not true, that when he earns any amount that's extra more than the amount that he needed for that very day, that money is Mechuyev to go to the Adon. It goes to his master. So the Gemara says, so then why Maishnal Ari Miklat? Why would we bring up the case of Ari Miklat? That if the Gemara originally assumed that the Braisa is telling us that you're allowed to keep your slaves earning and refuse to feed him, the question would not be a question on here, because there's a reason to assume that the Adon might have a greater obligation to support his slave when he's in Galus than at home, as the Gemara is going to bring in the Maskana. So the Braisa found it necessary to bring the case of Galus. If, however, the Braisa speaks of a case in which the Adon told the slaves to keep his earning and feed himself, and it means to teach us that even in that case, the slave is not entitled to keep any of the extra earnings, why the Braisa teach this case specifically when it goes to Galus? This ruling could have been the same when the owner made an arrangement at home. Why do you have to bring the case of Galus? That's how Tosfos understand the Kasha. Basically, Tosfos is pointing out, based on the Maskana, that they were bothered by it, but that's what it's important Nakuda from the Tosfos over here. So the Gemara says, rather, because I would have thought the following, that when the Pasuk says, that that he should live. So we have a drasha, Chazal of a drasha based on the Gemara Makos, that we say, Aved Lev Chiyusat Fei, that there's an obligation to provide him with way to live over there. We have to provide him a livelihood, a parnasa, etc. So Kavashma, the Braisa, therefore tells us that even so, the Adon has the right to take all the earnings that are in excess of the slave's daily cost, even with this drasha. That was the Havamina that I would have thought, maybe this drasha is telling you that he should be able to keep Hadafa. No, Kamash Malan, the Adon is not mechuyav to give him Hadafa. So now the Gemara goes to the next point of the Braisa. But wait a second. V'hama diktani seifa, that which is the second part of the Braisa tells us, aval isha shegal salari miklat, but a wife of that very Braisa, a wife was exiled to the cities of refuge, by the chayav and mizunaseya, so the husband is chayav to provide her with food. Michlal, the lo amar la, lachor, if he's providing her with food, then it must be that he didn't tell her this lashon of tzimai seyadech b'mizunaseyach, that take your earnings and I'm not giving you any food. Because e amar la, because if he did in fact say this statement, as the Gemara is fleshing out, by la mai chayav, why would her husband be obligated to pay for her food in such a case? A husband is permitted to make this arrangement and not provide for her food. Seemingly the Braisa must be referring to a case where her husband did not tell her that. And then if that's the case, again, the Braises have to line up to the same case. Even if we're talking about an Isha and we're talking about an Eved, the whole point of the Braisa is to say, oh, this applies here and doesn't apply here. They must be talking about the same case though, the same hanacha. So medesefa de la amar la, if the second half of the brace is referring to where the husband did not tell his wife to pay for her food, then the first part of the brace, which is also referring to the slave, also where he did not say to him, so the Gemara says, no, really the brace is referring to a case where the Adon told his slave to, which is why he doesn't have to support him. Aye, what about the Isha? Isha, he also says it. But what about the case of the Isha? But Isha, but the Losavka, when a woman does not have enough to earn a livelihood, so therefore her husband is required to help her pay for the food. He's not required to pay for the slave's food in such a case, and that was the chiluk over here. So the Gemara says, "B'ha mediktani seifa v'amar la tzimai seyadayach b'mizunosayach rashai michal dereisha de lo amar la." But the last part of the brisa uses the lashon that the husband tells the wife, "Take your earnings in place of your food." That's okay for him to do it, which implies the earlier part of the brisa is where the husband does not tell her wife anything to cover her food expenses for her own earnings, and lechora they should be huadin by the resha by a slave. In which case, the case of a slave would be referring to a case where we would say ase imi. So the Gemara says, no, Halchikamar, this is what the Braisa means to say. V'ima spekes, however, if she earns enough to pay for her food, v'amr la tzimai seyadecha b'mizunosecha rashai, and the husband told her, take your earnings for place of your food, he is within his rights to do such a thing. That's the whole Chiddush, that he's allowed to say tzimai seyadecha b'mizunosecha. So the Gemara says, but then mispekes, my lamina, what was the Havamina? What was the Havamina to assume that the husband would not be able to tell his wife her earnings, she makes thousands of dollars a day, so she has more than enough to support herself, to buy her clothing, everything that she needs. She has more than enough money, definitely to support herself in referring to eating. So what's the Havamina that the husband is allowed to tell her this lashon? Is he always allowed to do it? Why is Gullus any different? So the Gemara says, because now the same, I would have thought the following, kol kvuda bas melech prima, that the honor of a princess is within. We're princesses. So therefore, it's more in her dignity not to go out. It's a violation of tznius for her to be going out. And therefore, the husband could therefore not be expected that his wife should go out and tell his wife to go find a job over there. In her new city, maybe it's not tznua. And therefore, I would have thought that he doesn't have the right to say this. Kamash Shmuel, the Braisa therefore tells us that even so, even though he probably, it's not the best thing for her to be doing that, but still he's in his right to be able to tell her this. So therefore, we don't have a raya when it comes to the din of a woman. We see that he did say, and the whole chiddush is that he's allowed to tell her that. That's the whole chiddush of the Braisa. And therefore, we have no proof when it comes to the halacha of an eved, because an eved, really, maybe you can, you're not allowed to say, ase imi ve'ini zancha, and this would parallel with the case of the Isha, because he says to her, like he would say the eved, just an important point that Rosh Hashanah always likes to point out, al kol kvuda bas melech pnimah, that there's a special level of tznias by a woman. Everyone gets confused and misunderstands. One of the ikers, obviously, of tznias is, like we know, the modestly dressed. But it means modest lifestyle. It means that we don't flaunt our lives to other people. I think the whole, Rosh Eckler doesn't even probably know what Instagram is, but for me, it's just very sad to see that the whole idea of Instagram is showing your life to the whole world. Why do you have to show everybody? It's a complete lack of tznius. A completely lack of, you could be the most tzanua dressed person on Instagram, and it's a complete violation of tznius. Because tznius is atznei alecha tzemer shalkecha. Hashem himself is a tzanua God. He's hidden. It's to hide yourself. It's not to show yourself in the limelight. Where you're forced to, a person nebuch has to be on the spotlight, or Shefker likes to point out. So then, we violate this alecha for the men, that we, kilu, quote unquote, violate. Meaning, that we, when we're stuck, push comes to shove, so we'll tell a man that he should be president of the shul, or do those such a things. It's an honor for women that we don't make them do their jobs because we assume that she's a princess. A princess doesn't have to get out. It's not a chas v'shalom, a negative way of looking at women. It's a big misconception in our unfortunate society that we live in that comes straight from the goyim and not from a Jewish way of thinking. And that is something that we should just recognize, that tznius also in life. A person goes on vacation, you don't have to show the whole world. Why can't you just enjoy a vacation with your family? You show a picture, okay, to your parents, your in-laws, your cousins, whatever, people who are is happy for you. But why do you have to show it off to your friends and other people? I can guarantee you that there's a slight amount of jealousy even with your best friends when you're going to a fancy vacation somewhere and they're not going. It's not kedai. There's no reason that you have to show these things to other people. That's a complete violation of tznius. Kol kavuda v'smelach pnima, our glory and the holiest thing that we do in life is within. That is the dinner. Tznius is just an important point to mention from the Gemara over here. Now the Gemara says lemak tonight. Okay, so now we haven't bring a proof whether or not we can. It's a machlokas amorayim, whether or not we say asa imi ve'eni zancha. So the Gemara suggests maybe it's actually a machlokas tonight. Whenever the Gemara will say a lemak tonight, it will always be rejected. Always. Because why? It's like saying, like someone says, presents to you a machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avad. And you'll say to him, like, what are you talking about? This is machlokas Shulchan Aruch Ramah. It's just a Sfardi Ashkenazi psak based on Shulchan Aruch Ramah. It's not a new Shaila from Rav Moshe and Rav Avadya. It's a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Why are you presenting to me as a machlokas Rav Moshe and Rav Avadya? That's why Limek Tanai is. It's like, why are you presenting this as a machlokas Amoraim? It's really a machlokas in the Tanaim. So the Gemara says the following, maybe also here we could suggest that it's a machlokas Tanaim. So obviously we're going to reject this, but this is the Havamina. Why? Because Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that a slave is within his right to demand from his master either to be given enough food to live or to be freed. That's what he's allowed to say. No, the master has the right to keep him. And if he doesn't have enough money to provide for him, that's the slave's fault. He'll have to go not begging on the doors. My love, the Gemara says, isn't this what they're arguing about? The Chachamim will hold that you can force a slave to work. They'll all understand that he's allowed to force his slave to work. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel will hold that an adon cannot force his slave to work without feeding him. So the Chachamim hold that even in times of famine, a master can keep his slave and make him go begging on the door. So the Gemara says, "Vitizbara." But does that make sense to say that this is the Yisod HaMachlokas? If this is the whole Yisod HaMachlokas, the wording is incorrect to the Braisa. The Braisa's lashon is, you either should feed me, or free me. Right? Feed me. Like a new slogan. All the Evadim are going on protesting with the picket signs. Feed me or feed me. So that's one Lashon. Oh, parnasim to the mayasabrenazmibadli. That shouldn't be the Lashon. The Braisa should have said, either you feed me or you give me enough money to pay for my food. The second option shouldn't necessarily be running to assume that he should be freed. V'od, and also further, if the Braisa really was talking about a case where the slave is expected to work without receiving food, so myshna b'shemetzer, why should it matter? That why should the Braisa bring a weird case where it's a famine and nobody has any food? Bring a case of a regular case where the adon doesn't have to provide for him, and I'll learn the same halacha. So rather, the Gemara says that's not the Yisod HaMachlokas in the Braisa, as we just imagine that we're never going to come to accept the Lema Katanai. Rather, we say Elahacha Mayaskinan. Rather, what are the case we're dealing with over here in the Braisa? The Amrlo Tse Maisa Yadecha LeMizrat Sacha. We're talking about a case where the master, in fact, tells the slave that take your earnings for your food, which Nimitzoros L'Sovik. However, in the years of famine, understandably, his earnings are not going to be enough to pay for his food, so he's going to go starving. Understands that the slave is allowed to demand either to have enough food to be freed, or you should feed me. So that people will have mercy on me. Why are they going to have more mercy? Because he's a yid. Once he's freed, he's a full-fledged yid, and they're going to have more rachmanas on a yid than they would by a goy. When he goes begging door to door, people, really a person who is merachim on the brios, he's a shtickle yid, as we pointed out. He still does mitzvos. He still chayav mitzvos, right? Mitzvos lo saseh, so therefore, since he's a shtick yid, people will still have rachamim on him, rachmanas on him, and they will give him enough money. That's the Yisod HaMachlokas. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring another proof. The Amar Rav, because Rav said, "Amakdish yidei avdo." If someone says that all of the, literally the hands of his slave are kadosh, I mean anything that he makes is going to be hekdish. Also, evad lo v'ochel. So this slave has to borrow money in order to buy food, and then he eats v'osa bread. Then he works and he repays the money. The Gemara is going to mention that he repays the money by paying less than a shavet pruta each time, so that it's not hekdish. So we see from Rav's method, shmamina yachal Rav lomar leved asay mivay nizancha. We learn from this halacha of Rav that you can say to an eved, "Work for me, and I will not feed you," because the Gemara is understanding that Rav is concerned with how we're feeding the slave. It's clear that the owner is not providing the slave with food, because if he was, he should have enough. Now, if a person can only be makdish that which is his, there's a halacha, ein adar makdish davar she'eino shelo. I can't be makdish your shirt. So if he's makdish him, so if he's not allowed to be makdish things that belong to the slave. But if Rav is telling us that all of the earnings are becoming hektish, we must therefore conclude that the Adon owns all of the slave's earnings, even if he does not feed him. That's what the Gemara assumes right now. So the Gemara says, so hacham eskinan, maybe we don't have a raya for this proof from the case of Rav, because maybe Rav is talking about a case, b'malo mazonos, where the master is providing his slave with food. And therefore, there's makdish ha'dafas. The Gemara says, "Ihachi l'may," turning on to the next time, "l'may lovev ochel." Why is the slave borrowing money in order to eat? If the master is feeding him, why would he need to borrow money to eat more food? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, "L'adafa," no, because it's additional food. The 2,000 is the bare minimum that he needs to survive. So the next amount is going to be extra. So the Gemara says, why is he allowed to do this? The limit of hektish, so that the hektish, literally, right, the person in charge of hektish will say to the slave, you are eating a 2,000 calorie diet, so now you all of a sudden need an extra 1,000 calories. Ashta, namay diske lach bedalav dafa. You should also, we're not going to give you the extra, the $10 to get your 3,000 calories in. You shouldn't be getting that extra 1,000 calories. You should be eating on the bare minimum that you need. So the Gemara says, no, because ha hektish kufa nechale. Really, when it comes to hektish, it's better for it that way, that the slave should eat more, because in order that if a person eats more, right, the lashon by an army, right, a phrase that we use, the armies are like on its stomach, that the army also, people in general work better when they're not starving. So therefore, if he eats on a level which he'll be satiated properly, that will lead him to work better, and therefore hektish, he'll be making more money for hektish, and hektish would like him to be able to do that. So that nevertheless, we still make him not buy food directly from hektish, or use his earnings to buy the food directly, because you're deriving personal benefit from hektish funds, and that already we don't want to do, so we make you do this harama, this like kind of trickery thing, to be able to get out of it. So the Gemara says, but also parea, but Rav said that the slave should work and pay back the money he borrowed. But how is he allowed to do that? Kama another. So the minute that he gets every pruta, it turns into hektish. So we see it should turn into hektish. So the Gemara says, no, we must be explaining where the slave repays the person that he borrowed from bepachas bachas shavet pruta, in amounts less than a shavet pruta. And since the shavet pruta is not hektish, therefore those amounts can be used to repay the debt. It only is something which is a minimum of a shavet pruta, and therefore the value of his is can accumulate some more, but he's paying it in installments of less than a shavet pruta, and that's why such a case would be okay. So the Gemara says, or this is actually more likely the explanation, as we see Damar Rav. Rav says, "Amakdish de avdo," that a person, a master who is makdish the earnings of his slave, oso eved osev oichel, that slave works to buy food and eat, the ilo avda, because if he does not work to earn money for his food, man palachle, who is going to serve him? Since hektish does not prepare food for him, how will he ever eat? Who's going to provide food for him? So the Gemara says, "I amart pish lama hach b'mala." Now the second ruling of Rav is understandable and would not be a stira between the first ruling of Rav, right, that we see on Nebez Amad Aleph, if you say that the first ruling is dealing with the case that the Adon is providing a slave for his, providing a slave with food. Ve'inu yachal, and then the halacha would be that the Adon cannot tell his slave that I'm not feeding you. Whereas the second halacha of Rav teaches a case of a master who does not provide food for his slave. Shapir, and then the two rulings would work. So therefore, we don't have a stira with Rav, right? Rav said in one halacha that a slave must borrow food, prepare, and pay less than a shavet pruta. Rav so would hold that the Adon must either feed a slave or he'll lose his rights to part of the slave's earnings corresponding to the food cost. So the first halacha so discusses a case which the master is feeding his slave, and therefore he owns all of the slaves and can legally be makdish them. So each pruta that the slave earns becomes property of hektish, and it would be a problem. The second halacha of Rav discusses a case in which the Adon is not providing food. Therefore, the master does not own these things, and he cannot be makdish them at all. The slave may therefore work directly and earn money for his food, because there was no shame makdish to what he had done, because it's the halacha of ein adam makdish tavar shein shalel. So then, ha v'sheinu yach. So Eli Yamart ach v'sheinu yach. But he's going to tell you the first halacha of Rav is talking about a case. He does not provide for food for his slave. V'yachal. And the halacha is that a master can, in fact, tell his slave to work without feeding him. Then how can Rav argue in his second halacha? Because if he does not work, who's going to help him get food? Who cares? That's not his concern. It's not the Adon's concern, according to this understanding. So the fact that Rav is saying this, Rav l'chor would be soser himself. So rather, we say from over here that Rav understands enu yachol. Marson is not enu yachol lomar asemi ve'enizancha, and that is the shita of Rav. And in fact, we have a raya from Rav. Very good. So now the Gemara says that there's other Amoraim that disagree. Tashma, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to actually say, Asa imi ve'enizancha. How do we know this? From the following case. Akota yad avdo shel chavero. Someone cuts off the hand of his friend's slave. Nosen shifter fos l'rabo. So he has to give shevet and boshet. He has to give the lost earnings and the medical expenses to the adon. So if you injure another person, generally, right, you have to pay for the cost of the of him not working and the repoy and the medical bills. So there's actually five types of nezek, right? We know that there's nezek, tzar, ripoy, boshes, and pagam. So Rabbi Yochanan is just mentioning only the third and fourth of these because it's obvious that you have to pay the permanent damage to the slave, right? Because it's his property, and also he doesn't mention the suffering because that could be learned from Rabbi Yochanan about the fact that ripoy. We're going to learn that also. So what about the idea of boshet? That's a shaila. Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not there is boshet with an eved kenani. So according to the shita that there is l'chora, then it would go to the adon. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't getting involved over here. L'chora, Rabbi Yochanan seems to imply that he holds like the other shita. By the way, that's the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan that they go to the master. So we see over here, Shmamina from this ruling of Rabbi Yochanan said, Yachal Rav Lomar Levit, Asimei Ve'enizancha. L'chora, this is a good proof that a master can in fact tell his slave, work for me, and I'm not going to provide for you, because the master is receiving all the money for the lost earnings, and he doesn't need to support the slave with this money, L'chora. So the Gemara says that, what are we dealing with over here to maybe disprove this? Maybe the master is providing the slave with food. So why should the slave have to go get tzedakah, go collect on the doors when he's already receiving food from his adon? No, that's for additional food that for his medical condition. So the Gemara says, though, if the ihachi nizam, why would Rabbi Yochanan say that he's receiving food, which implies that, right, that he should be even nizam and atzdaka? Nizam sounds like the basic amount that he needs. Misparnas should be the more lashon. Support is in addition to the basic requirement he needs to survive. So rather, the Gemara concludes, Ela lav shmamina, yachol shmamina. Rather, we see from over here, in Achanami, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that a master can't tell a slave to not feed him, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So now we have Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rav as to whether or not you're allowed to say this by an Eved Kenani. So obviously there's the ethical concerns and how do we treat people. The Rambam in Hilchos Avadim says that really both Svara and the fact that basic decency of a person is a person has to have Rachmanos al Abrios and your Eved as well. So even for goyim, you know, that's obviously you're not allowed to demean them, and you have to be teaching them properly. This obviously is not we are Bnei Avram, who is the epitome of chesed. Even for goyim, we're merachamin on all abrios, and that's pashut as a davar pashut that should be noted, and that's the way we should treat all goyim. That they should be, you know, all the gedolim. Many stories about that, how they, you know, they would see a goy and they influence them on the street, and they were so nice to them, etc. So now the Gemara says, right, Amar Mar, Rabbi Yochanan told us, Nosen shifta or fosel rabo, that the person who injured the slave gives the money to the master. So the Gemara says, shifta pita, I get the shifta pshita, that the din of the payment for the slave's lost earnings, that obviously go to the adon. So the Gemara, why would you even have to mention? Why did Rabbi Yochanan mention that halacha? The Gemara says because no, refuas Israel. He brought it agav to mention the important halacha of the medical bills, that the medical bills go to the adon. So the Gemara says, but refuas adideyo, that's not true though. The medical bills, he needs them for the hospital. He needs the money that the hospital bills should be paid, and he doesn't have any money to pay for them. So obviously, they should go to the slave. So the Gemara says, right, he needs the money for his treatment. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha damud el chamishim." Rather, they established that it's going to be the doctor said it's going to be $1,000 a day for 5 days. So there's a $5,000 total that this is going to cost. So they make the guy who cut off the arm of the slave, they make him pay $5,000 for the medical bills. However, the doctors realize that there is a stronger medication that he could take. And it actually made him, he had a little bit more pain, but still he was able to heal himself in only 3 days. It was a lower cost, only cost $3,000 because each hospital stays $1,000. So he saved $2,000. So what would I have thought? So that, the fact that the slave right? It was a little bit more uncomfortable for him to take these pills and to be out in 3 days. So I would have thought that extra $2,000 might actually go to the slave. No, Kamashmalan Rabbi Yochanan therefore teaches us that these funds, in fact, do not belong to the slave. Rather, they belong to the Adon. Says Gemara, Vayter Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Nala Rabbi Meir, Valo is Chusul Ola Eved. Isn't it a benefit for the slave, Shiyotza Mitachas Yad Rabbi Rabbi Lacherus? Isn't it a good thing for him to leave? So why would Rabbi Meir say that it's not a Zechus, and therefore we don't say Zachin Adam Shul Bafanov? Amar Lo, Rabbi Meir responded to us, Chov Hulo, that it's a disadvantage for him. Shimayalo Eved Kohen, Posumana Shuma, because if the slave was a Kohen, a slave of a Kohen, he's not allowed to eat truma now. So you're removing the fact that he could truma. We know an Eved, right, as opposed to an Eved Kneni is a property of the Kohen Kol Kulo, to the fact that he's allowed to eat the truma. So the Gemara says, Amar Nelos, the Chacham respond, Valo, ma imirtsa shalala zunu v'shalala parnaso. But if he doesn't want to give him any food at all to support him, he doesn't have to. Rasha, he would have been in his rights to do so. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Meir replied to us, Uma ilu eved kohen shebarach. But what would you say as halacha if the kohen slave ran away and his adon could not find him to free him? Ve'eshes kohen shemar dal baila. Or if a kohen's wife rebelled against her husband and fled, halo ochem b'truma. Wouldn't they both be able to eat truma? But now he's not able to eat truma because you made him free. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim responded, "Well, isha chovula." But when we agree with Rabbi Meir that a divorce is bad for the wife. Why? She can post them in a truma, but not see them in Arizona. Because she's losing on two things. If she's married to a kohen, it disqualifies her from eating truma. And if he would be married to a Yisrael in general, it would make her lose the food, the basic mazonos that the husband would otherwise be obligated to give her. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with what exactly the Gemara analysis of this back and forth. Ma'akon Ma'akadar by Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.